being two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning to Doctrine of Suffering, we'll pick up page 3, Roman numeral 7 of those. The local church is the assembly of believers as they reside in their particular geographical locations. And the primary purpose regards to the assembly is for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life under the royal chain of command. In this regards, human intellectualism is insufficient for the believer priest to correctly apprehend and discern the spiritual realities of God. It demands that we are in fellowship, which is made available to us through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, of which upon our private prayers confession before God, we're filled with God the Holy Spirit. He's given rulership over our life experientially in this capacity, and we have, therefore, the grace apparatus perception installed, necessary for the spiritual things of God's Word to fall upon our ears and our souls in correct discernment and understanding and interpretation of these things. So it is our custom for everyone to make sure that they have opportunity, at least, to get in fellowship before every Bible class, which we will do once again this morning, as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all that you provide for the existence of this local church. We ask that you bless us in our continued witness of your word in regards to our assembly and outside the local church, our own applications, that God, the Holy Spirit, will once again this morning guide us to the truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to re-sing that song, yeah?
Let's get the flip side.
Thank you. All right, suffering is a real pleasurable and fun thing to go through. We all love it. Obviously, it is not fun, but it is the experience, the Christian experience, that every believer can expect in regards to living their Christian life. Suffering is allotment for all men, believers and unbelievers alike. The difference in regards to believers is that their suffering can be put in regards to good use as God intercedes on behalf of positive volition and utilizes their suffering for their own spiritual advance and matriculation and all things good otherwise in their Christian life. And suffering, no matter how severe it may be, obviously one thing we know, that it cannot do anything to effectuate our salvation in a negative way. Our salvation is eternally secure, and therefore we cannot be separated in that regards, no matter what one physically may undergo. And regards to suffering, it's important to know that as we go through our suffering, God provides both encouragement and comfort that's commensurate and parallel to the suffering in and of itself. The key there is to make sure that you stay on top of your STA, that you keep your eyes focused on Bible doctrine, and otherwise remain sensitive to God intervening on your behalf in this respect. If you're wrapped up in your own misery of suffering and yourself, obviously, many times we are blind to other things going on around us that God may have put there and designed for us to be encouraged in this respect. So to maintain a fastidious approach in regards to our Christian life in this respect, in dealing with our sufferings, feeling our sufferings in this respect, is all important if we want to maximize in regards to that which is able to sustain us through our sufferings in this respect. And suffering comes to the Christian in two forms. It's either deserved or undeserved. Deserved suffering is just like it sounds. We suffer because of our malfeasance to the plan of God. And when we disobey God, we undergo divine discipline and judgment in that regards. And that suffering that we experience in that respect, for that reason, is deserved suffering. Obviously, the preferred suffering, as Peter so states it, is undeserved suffering. And that is suffering that we endure in spite of our innocence. Suffering that we endure because of our stand for the truth of Bible doctrine that simply comes upon us because of the evil of this world around us and otherwise. And it may be direct or indirect in regards to undeserved suffering. Simply living in a time in history in the world temperature, politically and otherwise, bring about suffering that is literally far removed in regards to the persons causing it. But we suffer under the impact of it economically and otherwise. So we understand these things. And it looks at the innocent suffering because of evil. Obviously, the world recognizes this very principle in and of itself, as innocent victims are targets of evil predators and other extremely twisted, psychologically maladjusted individuals in this world. So deserved and undeserved suffering, our allotment, our experience is going to be a combination of both. Obviously, we got an STA, so we're going to experience divine discipline. That writer of Hebrews says, if you don't have divine discipline in your life, then you're truly not in tune with God's plan. Obviously, it's an admixture. But overall, and throughout the Christian experience, the undeserved suffering is there and in place. You suffer simply for being a believer in and of itself, and making that available, that information available to people around you. So, deserved and undeserved suffering are the two different forms of which suffering exists for the individual believer in time. And in regards to dealing with our suffering, part of the primary aspect of dealing with it successfully is to ensure that we had the correct mental attitude, which comes about, our mental attitude is governed obviously by the way we think, which is obviously should be governed by Bible doctrine. So that's Roman numeral 7 here, continuing on with the doctrine. The proper mental attitude towards suffering. Subpoint A, the single most important factor in fighting the good fight is to be armed with the correct mental attitude. Again, Peter, epistle dealing with undeserved suffering, 1 Peter primarily. And to have the correct mental attitude is to emulate Christ, who obviously had the perfect attitude in this respect. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And that obviously looks at, for us, isolating the sin nature under undeserved suffering. And we are, therefore, when we are put under undeserved suffering, it is evidence for us that we indeed are seeking to apply righteousness, God's plan for our lives, and because we live in Satan's world is why this suffering is there facing us otherwise. And to have the right attitude, Christ obviously had the perfect attitude without a sin nature, and his attitude obviously was constantly always focused on Bible doctrine. And the ultimate results and consequences in regards to all that he was doing, and what it would mean in regards to his own life as Messiah in his humanity. And that meant, obviously, too, keeping his eyes focused on the eternal results, the eternal consequences of a successful mission, otherwise, and what this would mean in regards to vindication for him in spite of his sufferings, and in, if you will, God rewarding him back for his sufferings in this respect. So B, the believer is to rely upon the inner support of peace and joy. inner peace, inner happiness, by sage. To know that you are fulfilling God's plan. To know in and of yourself, in regards to the situation, that the suffering is indeed undeserved. This should instill peace within and a joy, because you are oriented and acclimated to God in and of it, of yourself, in this respect. John 16:33, in regards to the doctrine that Jesus disseminated in his ministry to the disciples and others, these things I have spoken to you. That's Bible doctrine. His Bible classes that he consistently was engaged in. That in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, opposition, suffering, persecution. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And his overcoming the world looks at his successful mission in regards to defeating Satan tactically and defeating the total and absolute rule of the sin nature over mankind. Through grace, we can isolate it experientially, apply it. And the fact that God is for positive volition, and that he will ensure that positive volition can fulfill their course in this respect, points to the fact that Jesus Christ did overcome the world. He made that door possible with respect to God on behalf of each and every one of us. So we are to have inner peace, looking and relying upon, obviously, through the application of faith rest and things of this nature in our Christian life. James 1:2. Consider it every joy, literally, my brothers, when you encounter various tests. And that joy comes about from the fact that God is utilizing this suffering to your good, as Romans says, and building your faith and your stamina and spiritual advance regards to the Christian life. That's the remainder of the verses, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. If we did not have suffering and test of life, there would be no evidence of truly how committed one is to what they proclaim. And in regards to the process of building endurance, building spiritual stamina, over the long haul, it produces the maturity adjustment, which is the designed effect that God has for the believer in regards to their life. 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. So, obviously, in a couple of references that we've had here, when we're suffering, one of the aspects of thinking that we should engage in is to recall Jesus Christ, as to draw upon in regards to our own encouragement of the perfect model and example he established for us on our behalf, and knowing that we're simply going through what he went through in his stand for the truth, in representing our own persons in our stand for the truth against hostile negative volition otherwise. And hence, to the degree that we share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. As obviously looks at suffering that is undeserved. So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation, which looks to the SG3 that is also being stored up on your behalf, which our doctrine brings out here in a little bit. See, the inner resources of Bible doctrine and prayer are essential to overcoming our suffering. It cannot be understated the importance of the believer having a healthy prayer life in addition to their NPR, their assembly, and taking in doctrine. Philippians 4:6-7. we are to recognize sin fear when it exists in our life and deal with it appropriately, and otherwise seek to abstain from it, which comes through the faith rest technique and isolation of the sin nature. And therefore, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't be a worrywart. Worrying, that kind of pressure on an individual life has been proved medically to cause health conditions adversely. Depression, things of this nature. And the reason why these things exist is because the STA exists. And people don't deal with the STA. What they do is they put bandages on it with human viewpoint prescriptions. Literally. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Not just some things. Not just the big things in life. Everything. Need a good constitution? Pray about it. Pick that out because some people, oh, well, you don't pray about that, do you? You bet I do at my age. And everything by prayer and supplication. That means humble beseeching. Literally. To seek God in true humility. With thanksgiving. As it's always tailored. And flavored with one's gratefulness for God, God's plan for their life. Let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. You want to have inner peace. Prayer is essential. See, prayer is essential. Shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:16. That he may grant you, that being the positive believer, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, filling of God the Holy Spirit, in the inner man through our human spirit, denoting the importance of the spiritual apparatuses given to us at salvation and their combined effect. And to be strengthened by God demands that we utilize these things of grace given to us for their design purpose. And then Colossians 1:11. In regards to our Christian walk, we are to be strengthened with all power, which falls on the heels of the previous verse, walking in a manner worthy of God, which demands application of doctrine. So all these things combined with a healthy prayer life, which is part of your application, strengthened with all power through Bible doctrine in that fashion, according to his glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness, to stay stable, stay the course under circumstances in life, and patience, that's towards people, joyously, to do it with a good mental attitude, see, with a proper mental attitude, rather than getting wrapped up in reactive factors in regards to other people's STAs, to keep one's eyes focused on the proper attitude and approach to the situation. Doctrinally. B, the believer must possess the mental attitude that he is willing, which looks at suffering by submission, recognizing this is God's plan for our life. And we're willing to undergo this on behalf of fulfilling his plan for our life. So the believer must possess a mental attitude that is willing to suffer on behalf of the plan of God. That's 2 Timothy 2:3 and 9. Paul exhorts Timothy in the ministry suffer with me, suffer hardship with me. The hardship, the testing, the suffering that comes of being in the ministry in and of itself. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Recognizing God's utilization of certain individuals in the ministry to lead the troops in battle, if you will, with respect to fulfillment of God's plan in their life. And as it is in regards to military service, obviously, the trained, astute, professional military man undergoes much suffering in order to reach the peak of ability and capabilities in regards to execution of whatever they've been trained in. So suffering, and Timothy is encouraged, exhorted, to stand firm, not to throw in the towel, not be the weak link and weak sister in regards to God's plan in this respect, and to stay the course in verse 9, for which I suffer hardship. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, descended to David according to my gospel. Again, the recalling of Jesus Christ in this context, for which I suffer hardship that comes about from evil, even to imprisonment as a criminal, even though he is innocent, a political prisoner. A political prisoner is not a new thing. It's been going on throughout history. And here, the political prisoner is there because of their faith, because of their religious beliefs. But the Word of God is not in prison. You can't stop the plan of God no matter what they may do to our body. No matter what they may do to our person. No matter how they may try to separate those who are commissioned to communicate from the ears of polyvolition, God's plan will continue to march forward. And God will make provision through alternatives or some other fashion if necessary. Ye, the believers, should take comfort during times of suffering, recognizing that other believers are enduring the same conflicts. The same types, maybe wrapped in a different package at a different time. But the basics of the suffering in and of itself, economical, health, persecution, slandering, you know, all the verbal reviling that goes on in the world, etc. 1 Peter 5, 9. Other believers have gone through these things before us, and they will after us. Some to even greater degrees of stress and pressure than we will even face. Some less. It all depends on the allotment given to you. 1 Peter 5, 9. And the fact that these believers have undergone these things and are undergoing them, even as we all undergo our individual tests. And again, the importance of our fellowship and existence of the local church to be able to appeal to one another in camaraderie under tests, beseeching prayers, things of this nature, exhortation through doctrine. Think that you're not unto yourself, well, then all you're doing is dismissing things that God has provided for you otherwise to help you along the glory road. And to know that others are undergoing similar tests or have, and to just even converse with these can give a sense of encouragement in regards to another undergoing the same kinds of tests. 1 Peter 5, 9. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers who are in the world. The same forms of satanic attack occurring all over towards all polyvolition throughout history. And we're not in this boat alone. Again, if you think that's what it is, then you are probably denying the fellowship of like-minded polyvolition to appeal to in company and comfort and things of this nature. Roman numeral 8. This section deals with the SG3 factor, suffering and surpassing grace blessings in eternity. Associated with our sufferings in time, that comes for us and on behalf, unbelievable reward and wealth in our eternal state. A, suffering the test of the Christian way of life that we pass, accumulate phase 3 reward under doctrine of SG3. Again, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to receive our own resurrection bodies and copy of Christ as the firstborn, to, for what purpose? To obtain an inheritance. God has all this blessing that He wants to bestow upon mankind if they will line up in regards to His plan. That is under the doctrine of SG3, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's there right there waiting on us. All you got to do is make the applications and it's put in the till. It's put in your account. Imagine if you had a checking account somewhere and somebody with such wealth that is inexhaustible, it said every time that you applied Bible doctrine, you did in fellowship, I'm going to put 10 grand in your account. Well, I guarantee you there'd be a lot more people applying doctrine at a higher level today. But obviously not, because these are people simply that live by sight and not by faith. But that is the reality in regards to our eternal state. And is there waiting for us. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time, which is the rapture of the church, of which the bema seat will then distribute. At the bema seat, the rewards will be distributed by Christ, who brings the rewards with Him, as Revelation tells us. In this greatly, in regards to the association with this SG3, in this greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, it's all temporary. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, tests, which includes suffering, all forms of tests, and that for the purpose of giving evidence that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. So I guess God puts a high value on our souls, on our volition. See, our faith is more valuable than the physical wealth accumulated in this world to God, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. James 1:12. Blessed is a man who endures or perseveres under testing. For once he has been approved, he will receive the wreath of life, which the Lord has promised those who love Him. The approval comes by staying the course and holding to the end in regards to staying in line with Bible doctrine and your Christian life. Be those who remain positive under the various testings and sufferings associated with the body of death, reap SG3 in phase 3. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Paul is not saying suffering is easy. He knows better than that. But when you look at it and put it in a proper perspective, it is momentary light affliction when you compare it to the eternal ramifications that stem from it if you do it right. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. See, our present sufferings pale when compared to our phase 3 glory. As we just saw there in Romans also, or Corinthians also, Romans 8:18. For I consider Paul consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Not even worthy to be compared. Want a little cheese with your wine? Not even worthy to be compared. Get a grip on your STA, see. Get a grip. Get in fellowship. Make it count. Instead of running around in our self-induced misery, commiserating because you're so self-absorbed. Yeah, I have to tell myself that on occasion. I have really buffed me. I'm being facetious here to a certain degree. 2 Corinthians 4:17, and we just saw that in 1 Peter 5:10. You have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And that with the sense for all eternity. Be to the extent you are willing to acclimate to your lot of common human problems, your chips in life, you will inherit phase 3 reward. Again, 1 Peter 4:13, compare Romans 8:17, previous verse before the one we just read. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Roman numeral 9 now gives us reasons why suffering exists, and God allows suffering for the believer. How many times have you heard the cosmos chatter, you know, God wouldn't allow this. God wouldn't allow people, an innocent people, to be killed. If there's truly a God, what a bunch of idiots. They just do not understand anything in regards to life and the evil of men. And anything about God, generally speaking. God permits evil to exist. Right alongside of good, positive volition, and negative volition. So A, suffering is evidence of a world under judgment, and even creation suffers and will face demise. Suffering is evidence of the presence of evil. It is evidence of the presence of negative volition, disobedience to God and his standard of righteousness. It is evidence of the sin nature. It is these things that brings about suffering. God didn't create, restore, the world for the purpose for men to suffer. Now, you look at the Genesis account, his creation, his restoration, was set in a picture of pristine utopia in regards to man and woman to rule and have authority over this planet. Suffering came about because of their disobedience to God, allowing Satan then to have, if you will, legal control, if not physical and spiritual, over the world under the spiritual force of which it operates. So it is the SCA that brings about suffering. It is the SCA that brings about persecution. So why would God allow suffering to exist? Well, because he allows people to make their own choice in life. That's why. He gave us and created us with freedom to either step up the plate and meet our arrogant claims that we can make peace and resolve suffering in this world on our own. Negative volition. Isn't that the paradox? Or, you know, humble yourself and recognize God and wait for him to come in and do it for us. Which he obviously does. so as evidence of a world under judgment, and even creation itself suffers and will face demise. Our environment is in the condition that it is in regards to these things that create havoc in people's lives. Again, because of evil. And the world was cursed by association. Romans 8:22 through 23. For we know that the whole creation, and the looking forward, the context is looking forward to the return of Christ, the blessing that will come upon this planet when He rules under righteousness. He will even have an environmental impact. For the creation was okay. Let me get my bearings here. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And as verses 20 and 21 makes clear, obviously creation didn't have any choice in the matter. But that points to the principle of impact in regards to associations. Man was given authority over creation. And when he disobeyed God, everything under his authority was directly affected. So, you know, if you have a position of authority and you don't take it seriously, you might want to reconsider that position. Because your choices, what you do in life, does have a direct impact on those who are dependent upon you and under your authority. Revelation 20, verse 11. The destiny of our existing planet is complete annihilation, complete removal. Probably annihilation is not as accurate as simply complete removal. A cleansing of the space that God's going to use for the new creation. That's what it is. It's a real cleansing. Whereas He brought us in the universe into creation through His Word, out of nothing, ex nihilo, it's reverse ex nihilo. He speaks it back into nothing. And at that point in time, obviously, the final judgment will occur, the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. And then also 21:1, and saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. Take your cruise, do it now. Then go see an island, go do it now. Are you a cruise man? B, it is evidence of the cosmic system and the rulership of Satan, negative volition, and the SCA, how he rules. Hostile to God. Job chapter 1 and 2, which you can read those on your own, we won't go that in depth this time around. But Satan's appeal to God to test Job, to try to assert his power and prove that the argument there was to prove that the reason why Job followed God's plan was because God was rewarding him. You know, the same argument you might hear from people about the SG3. Well, the only reason why you go there, you know, is because they promised to give you something. And God's going to give you something. You know. Where'd that argument come from? Huh? Came from Satan, didn't it? Human viewpoint. All that. And as we know, in regard to Job, he underwent much suffering. He was our example of suffering in the Old Testament. And Satan was the one that initiated that whole situation, even though God permitted it to occur, and he actually set Satan up and was all to prove the integrity of positive volition. Romans 1:18. The fact that unrighteousness and evil of men, negative volition, exist, for the wrath of God keeps on being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, denoting man's part, man's role in her negative volition, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, to either completely oppress it and suppress it, or tamp it down even as part of suppression. And we'll get into that principle here a little bit in Thessalonians. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. And that is refers to the plan of God in suppressing it and oppressing it, trying to rule over rather than let God's plan rule, to summarize that in a simplistic way. Of negative volition to run the world under their own terms and conditions. First Corinthians 5:5. In regards to gross immorality, Paul declares, "I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh." God is free to use what elements and tools necessary to bring about judgment, deserve suffering upon others. And Satan doesn't mean that Satan is literally going to manifest himself to this guy and start slapping him around. It looks to the system of Satan and the types of hazards and things that come about upon us. Because of the evil of which this world operates under. Sexual sins, venereal disease, things of this nature. See. For the destruction of his flesh, the judgment will go into his body, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Things like that happen. It's not a bad thing, especially if the person continues to have positive volition for things to come into their life as a wake-up call. Those who are negative, they'll dismiss it, whatever form or fashion. But the one that's positive, it will have this proper effect. Oh, I guess I better get my act together. God's not pleased with me right now. So, 1 Timothy 1:19. Keeping faith in a good conscience, that's faith of Bible doctrine, and conscience built on the morals of doctrine, which some have repudiated, rejected, and suffered shipwreck. Part of the suffering of going of negative volition is going into reversionism and spiritual shipwreck. That's a form of suffering. To be in reversionism is a form of suffering. That just caught my eye. Suffered shipwreck, see? In regard concerning their faith, And whether they recognize it now or not, as believers, they'll recognize it at the Bema seat. And loss and shame, loss of reward. And then Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer, to the church at Smyrna. Early period of suffering of the church. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. He's not physically again going to do it. It's going to be people that do this. But he's the one orchestrating it. How does he orchestrate it? By providing the human viewpoint and stimulation for their SCA to engage in activities such as this. He's about to cast some of you into prison. Again, become political or religious prisoners. That you may be tested. The church in regards to his perseverance. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the wreath of life. Hang in there. Stay the course. See, it produces the virtue of patience and building of endurance in the Christian way of life. We saw that James 1, 2, and 4. Also Romans 5, 3, and 4. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, in our common human problems, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. It sets off a domino effect of spiritual matriculation for the positive individual. So you got to read this in its proper context. For those who are positive, those who are willing to line up and submit themselves to God under their sufferings. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. D, suffering exists so believers can glorify God in our witness of the life. 1 Peter 2:12. Keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good works, as they deserve them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Make an application in your life under sufferings and testings, and witness to others around them, piquing any positive volition they may have. And make their own adjustments. 4:16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed. And in that name, let him glorify God. E, it is a test of our doctrinal tenacity and positive volition to the truth. Again, Revelation 2:10. F, it is opportunity to maximize our SG3. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Again, the momentary light affliction contrasts with the eternal weight of glory. All right, Roman numeral 10. Some things here to keep in mind. A, the Lord knows your sufferings and will deliver you from them all. Exodus 3, 7, Psalm 9, 12, 35, 10. B, try to wrap this up in the next couple of minutes. God will not put upon you tests you are not ready to handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. See, he will supply you with the grace to handle any test. He'll supply you with the grace to handle any test. Proverbs 3:34. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. needy failure to handle persecution and testing explains why some peel off from doctrine. Again, the example of the sower and the seed and the type of soil that it falls upon, Matthew 13, 20 and 21. E, you will not face unique tests, tests that other believers in the world have also faced and will face and do face. 1 Peter 5, 9, compare 1 Thessalonians 2, 14, 2 Corinthians 1, 7. F, suffering renders you worthy of God's kingdom, 2 Thessalonians 1, 5. G, your sufferings help complete the measure of suffering of the corporate body of Christ necessary for the church's glorification. Colossians 1, 24. Now I rejoice my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share, Paul states, on behalf of his body, our allotted share, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. H, our sufferings are designed to cause us to place our trust in God and not our own abilities. Sometimes suffering puts you in a situation where there really isn't anything you can do. And really, those are the easiest ones, if you will, because then you just say, God, it's all in your hands. Either deliver me or, give me ultimate deliverance, one way or the other. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10, 1 Peter 4, 19. You've got to avoid fear, sin fear, hence you've got to faith rest, and soul fading. Not let your test in life depress you. Wear your volitional drive and momentum down. That's soul fainting. Give up, just quit. It's not going. It's not going to happen. Whatever, The SCA, the excuses it gives you. Romans 8, 15 through 17. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. J, we are drawn upon examples of positive believers before us and emulate their faith. James 5, 10. Job, they're the example, as we saw in the Epistle of James. Okay, those that persevere are counted in the group of believers that are blessed. Blessed is the one who endures the wreath of life. It is their reward, James 5:11. And now all suffering and causes will be completely eliminated in the eternal state of the new creation, Revelation 7:17 and 21:4. All right, our second session is committed to our annual business meeting. If you're a voting member, we ask that you hang around and participate. If you're not, you're still free to hang around. You just can't vote. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask you to bless us and give us direction and guidance in regards to our existence as a local church and the right and proper applications to make otherwise. Continue to make provision of the truth of your word for those who are positive in this geographical region. In Jesus' name, amen.
I took it just before class ever. My hand is sitting there. Before class ever. I know. Hey.